Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Whoa.
No. Really? But he is my favorite conservative.
Thank you.
Anyone who listens to our show knows.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very kind of you.
You know, speaking of thank you.
Yes.
Thankfully, nothing earth-shattering happened in the political world this week.
It didn't? Wait.
Something happened?
It did. In fact, in your former home state of California,
okay.
Hunter Biden pled guilty to the charges against him in that trial out there.
Okay.
He originally tried to do what's called an Alford plea.
Ooh, tell us what that
and
is.
And that is when you going to plead guilty, but you won't admit your guilt, but you realize that there's a good chance that you could have been convicted despite being innocent. Well,
and it's different from no contest.
Right.
It's different. Okay.
Correct. So he tried to enter that plea and the prosecution said, no. We know our case is so incredibly strong. So Hunter and his lawyers asked for a 30-minute continuance, and they went and conferred, and I'm guessing called the White House. And came back in and said to the judge, yeah, I'm guilty and I admit everything. I just don't want to put my family through anything else, as he's done for years. Right.
And your theory, and I think most people's, is that he called the White House, spoke to his father to get assurance that he would be pardoned.
Yes, to make sure that pardon, I'm going to guess sometime in early December,
will
come about. Yeah.
Okay. So. All right. You know, okay, that I don't know if that's earth shattering,
but it
is something.
I'm glad that was only like the biggest story this past week, because everything's been so crazy lately.
Well, the polls are all over the place.
They are indeed.
So season three, our theme is the march to the election, which is 2 months away. It's crazy. So here we go. We always start off with the polls. We promise you this will not be in season four necessarily, but the Real Clear Politics RCP poll. National average. Last week, Harris was up 1.8. She saw a slight decline, but she is still up 1.4 against Trump.
Yeah. And we go back, we do this day in history. So yes. We look back on this date in the 2020 campaign and the 2016 campaign. In 2020, Joe Biden had a 7.1 lead on Donald Trump.
Ooh.
And in 2016, Hillary Clinton had a 2.8 lead on Donald Trump. So, you know, Kamala being up only 1.4 while she is ahead, that's not a comfortable margin.
No, it's not a comfortable margin at all. All right, so let's get to the battleground states. I would say overall, it was not a great week for Trump. I'll do East Coast.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Pennsylvania, which we'll talk about later. Last week, Trump was up 0.5. Now it's a dead heat. It's a tie with Kamala, with Harris, I should say. In North Carolina, last week, Trump was up 0.6. And he has increased that to 0.7. So again, well within the margin of error, although I think he will take North Carolina. Georgia, going down south, right next door to us. Last week, Trump was up 0.2. Now, Harris is up 0.1. And again, well within the margin of error, but not going the right direction there.
Yeah. Let's go to the Midwest. Midwest, actually. Let's go to Michigan. Last week, Harris was up 1.1. This week, she is up 1.2.
Woo!
Yeah. And Wisconsin is just as exciting. Last week, she was up 1.4. She's now up 1.5.
Can we just forget, like, can the Republicans forget about Wisconsin? I know Trump won it in 2016, but I think just give it to the Democrats right now.
It is in play.
I don't think it's in play.
Fight, as Donald Trump said.
All right, take us out west.
Out west, let's go to Nevada. Last week, it was a dead heat, a tie. And this week, Kamala Harris is up 0.6.
Okay.
And in the great state of Arizona, Trump was up 1.5 last week. He's up 1.6 today.
I think he's going to take Arizona. I do.
He should if illegal immigration is the main concern out there.
And that's the other thing is he has to stick to talking about the issues.
Correct.
He really does. And on my favorite gambling website, predictit.org, where people actually bet on political races, last week, and again, these are not percentages, last week, Harris was 55 and Trump was 48. This week, Harris is 53 and Trump is 50. Now, I realize that that is over 100, but again, this is a gambling website. But what it does mean is, as far as the gamblers see it, it's a tighter race.
Yeah,
correct. So I think that's very, very interesting.
Less money is going to Kamala, more money is going to Trump.
Yes.
Yes. But again, this is a very small snapshot on the overall race.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you wanted to comment on something Kamala did this week.
Well, you know, looking at all the battleground states that we just talked about, every one of them is well within the margin of error. It's not even close, right? Every one of them. But yet this past week, she spent a day in New Hampshire. Now, why are you campaigning in New Hampshire? And in fact, the better part was they actually had to bus in supporters. There was this line of yellow buses bringing in supporters for her rally, right?
I love it. But it's a blue state.
It's a blue state.
It's super
and
blue.
If you're wasting a day, you know, that has to be spent in these battleground states.
Right.
To me, their internal polling is not what we're seeing.
And that's actually a good point.
Yeah.
That or she just wanted a friendly audience.
Well, you can go to anywhere. Go to all these blue states. I think Michigan and Wisconsin will give her, you know, friendly state or friendly audiences for sure. But
okay, so before we get to our main show, which is going to be the Party of Democracy, you've got something else for us.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not part of the main show here, as you said, but we've got the debate coming up Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
And we wanted to just do a brief preview of it.
Right. So it's going to be a huge debate, and it will probably be the only presidential debate.
Yes.
So here are some facts and rules, and then we're going to have a few predictions for you in terms of, you know, who the rules favor. So if you're not aware, it is, like Edward said, Tuesday, September 10th at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's hosted by ABC News in Philadelphia. Very smart to have it in a swing state.
Yep.
And the moderators are David Muir and Lindsay Davis.
I know who David Muir is. I never heard of Lindsay Davis. So.
Okay.
Wait, I have no, at least it's not a George Stephanopoulos and whomever else hates Trump, at least
yes.
That we know of on the surface.
Yes. So. But it is on ABC.
It is. Yes.
All right. So we're going to talk about the rules and who it favors. And you'll probably notice these rules are very similar because they're pretty close to what they were last time.
Right.
So the first rule is, once again, no live audience.
I think that's going to favor Kamala.
I do too.
A little bit. Yeah.
Because
I think Trump's supporters are a little more vociferous.
Well, and Trump really gets energy from
that's
the crowd.
True.
Like
that's
he
true.
Really, he really, yeah. He's an extrovert. He feeds on the energy in a way that I don't think she necessarily does. I think it could even make her nervous. So yeah, that favors her. Give us another rule.
The candidates will stand behind podiums. No sitting.
I don't think that favors either one of them.
Yeah, I don't either.
It was different with Biden.
But although Kamala initially wanted to sit.
Well, she wanted to sit because of the next rule, I think. No notes allowed. I think she wanted to sit and just look down and have her notes right in front of her.
Well, no, even if she sat, she wouldn't be allowed to have notes.
I know, but I think she thought.
Okay.
Anyway, so
okay.
No notes allowed. Who does that favor?
That's Donald Trump.
That favors Trump.
And by far, yes.
It really, really does.
Yes.
All right. Give us the next rule.
The mics are going to be muted.
Again.
Yes.
And we saw in the last debate that really helped Trump maintain control.
Yes. Let me, I didn't give the whole thing. Mics are going to be muted when one person is talking.
So, yes. Well, I think our audience is smart and they know that. But we saw that in the last debate with Biden. Yeah. Because Trump wasn't able to interrupt and because his mic was muted, you saw Biden unravel. And so I think, again, this really favors Trump.
Yeah.
Especially since the Harris team fought against this. They did not want the mics muted.
Yeah. He didn't interrupt Biden, and Biden showed his senility.
Yes.
and he's not going to interrupt Kamala, and she's going to show her stupidity.
Oh, that kind of rhymed.
Thank you.
I like it.
Thank you. It just came to me.
All right. Other rules. 2 minutes to answer the question and 2 minutes of rebuttal.
All right. 2 minutes to answer the question favors Trump.
Why?
Trump can do 2 minutes in one breath, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Trump can riff for an hour.
Yes.
Kamala has trouble putting thoughts together that come out coherently. And so 2 minutes is a long time if you really don't know what you're going to say.
Okay. All right.
You know, go back to the first question that she did in that interview.
Oh, right.
That's you know, interview. What are you going to do on day one?
And she couldn't answer.
And it was like, that was oh my gosh.
And that was an edited interview, people.
Right.
So. 2 minutes of rebuttal.
Again, I think that favors Trump.
I do too. You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, his thing is just going to be, is he going to have another one of those moments where he's going to say, I don't understand what she just said, and I don't think she does either?
Yes. Oh, that would be great. That would be great. I think for Trump, he if he can do what he did in the Biden debate and be disciplined and stay on topic with the issues, because that was the other thing about Biden, other than that one remark, which was funny and true. Nobody really understood what Biden said in that moment. He did not name call.
No.
And he can't do that with Harris. He cannot call her names. He's got to watch his tongue in terms of sense of humor and the jabs. Additional 1 minute for follow-ups or clarifications.
To me, that is more of a trap for Trump. What I am concerned about,
okay,
is on these 1 minute follow-ups that they air quote forget to mute the other person's mic.
And oh yeah,
Trump tries
right.
to step on her. You know, Kamala, is looking for a girl boss moment.
Yes, she is.
I'm speaking, you know, with her hand up.
Because she's already done that.
Yeah.
She's already done that.
She did it with Mike Pence. And
well, she did it at a rally when people were interrupting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but Donald Trump is not Mike Pence.
No.
And she's going to learn very quickly.
I do think, though, that could be just a tie, because I don't think in a 1 minute follow-up that Kamala will be able to clarify anything.
That's to me, that favors Trump a little bit, that even though they're going to go back and say, Ms. Harris, and she's going to say,
I'm not going to bother to respond
to
that.
Yes,
that she's going to say something like that.
Something stupid.
And the last rule we have here, no conferring with aides during commercials.
Trump favors Trump.
It does. It just does. And, and again, you know, Trump agreed to these rules. The second debate, it was supposed to be with Biden. I could be wrong. We didn't double check this part, but I don't think any of these rules have changed. And it was the Harris team that pushed back on almost every rule.
Right.
And he said, look, I already said I'd go on your network at your time, wherever, whenever. And I already agreed to these rules. And I'm glad that they stuck to their guns.
Yes. I think in this debate, the most important thing for Trump is going to be able to keep reminding people that she is part of this administration.
Yes.
That has screwed up this economy. This has screwed up everything that they've touched. Because if he lets her try to present herself as an outsider, he's going to lose. And that you have to just keep pounding that this is your administration.
Yeah. All right. On to the main show, Edward.
To the main show, shall we?
What do we have today?
Well, this show is going to be geared toward our Democratic friends,
okay,
who may be having some possible second thoughts about their party and the far left direction it's taken.
I also think it's for independents like me.
It could be.
Yeah, it really is.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I want to look at the hypocrisy that Democrats espouse about, air quotes, democracy.
Okay. You
know?
All right.
And what I mean by that is, you know, democracy, every vote counts. That is, you know, their main, every vote counts. Does it really? Let's take a look, shall we?
Okay, let's take a look. All right.
And I want to look on how we got here, starting back with the primaries in Joe Biden in this cycle.
Right, in 2020.
In 2020,
yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, or 2024. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, no. Okay, yes. Okay, sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. That's okay.
2024.
So the first thing they did, the Democrats did, was to change the primary dates, the schedule. to put South Carolina first.
Because they knew Biden would do well there.
They do. It has always been throughout our history for however long we've been having these, Iowa goes first, New Hampshire goes second. Well, what happened in 2020? Joe Biden got waxed in Iowa. He finished fourth.
Yeah.
He got crushed in New Hampshire where he finished fifth.
Yes.
And he ended up winning South Carolina. So what do? They put South Carolina first.
Right.
Yes.
And what did they do next?
They then canceled the New Hampshire primary, right? So
we're
not even going to go there to give you a chance not to vote for Joe Biden, right?
I want to take the next one.
So he did have a challenger, right?
He had many challengers. Yes. The one that I think most people are familiar with is Robert Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., so RFKJ. They have spent millions, the Democratic Party, to get him off the ballot. They changed the primary rules to nullify him. They forced him to run as a third party candidate. He didn't want to. I mean, this is a Kennedy, people, whatever you think of him. And I'm not a huge fan, especially after reading that book. But whatever you think of him and his politics, I mean, Kennedys are legendary, right? I mean, they're just.
But if you mention Kennedy, you think Democrat.
You do.
Right.
And then the Democrats have sued to keep his name off ballots in swing states. And they've sued to keep his name off ballots.
On ballots in the swing states.
On ballots in swing states and off ballots in blue states, because he is doing the opposite, correct?
Yeah. No, it's his campaign.
Yes.
So you would think he would be the person that could say, hey, he suspended his campaign.
Right.
But I want to still stay on the ballots here. I don't want to be here. That should be his choice. The Democrats have taken him to court, trying to keep him on the ballots in the swing states to take votes away from Trump.
Right.
And off the ballots in
the blue states.
So there's no choice but to vote for Joe Biden. They're
Harris trying
to run up the count, if you will.
And his campaign has chosen the opposite, and that's why it's gone to court.
Yeah.
He wanted to keep his name on in swing states, right?
Right.
Again, to kind of pull votes from Harris and keep his name off in blue states.
Yeah, because not only has he withdrawn from the race, he's endorsed Donald Trump.
Yes.
So I think that's the knife in the back, and then it just got twisted. So
it's really confusing voters.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
Yes.
Yeah, you're trying to confuse the voters.
But RFKJ is not the only one that they're trying to get off the ballot.
No, two other main names are Cornel West and Jill Stein.
Yes.
I don't know exactly what the party Cornel West is, what the actual name is.
Jill Stein is green.
She's the Green Party, but they actually are trying to remove Cornel West off the ballots also. And they went to him and promised him a position somewhere in the administration, in Kamala's administration, and they offered to pay off his campaign debts. And he told him to go pound sand.
Yes.
So good for him.
Yes. And, you know, we have not verified this, but someone I know on Facebook, a friend, said when I posted a meme, like people do not have a sense of humor anymore. Anyway, I posted a meme and about this whole situation. And the person said, well, you know, RFKJ went to the Harris administration and asked for a position and they refused him. And that's exactly the point. Yeah, they refused a Kennedy. Like,
right.
Like what? I mean, that's just how far. You said,
you know,
before we went live, that you admire.
I actually, there's a little part of me that admires the Democrats, right? They are absolutely win at any cost.
Yes.
Right. It is, to me, I always think it's a knife fight. And we on the Republican conservative side have brought our little Swiss Army knife with the 2-inch blade, and they brought a machete.
And I have a better analogy for
what's
you.
What's that?
So for all of you Raiders of the Lost Ark fans, if you remember that scene where it's
Harrison Ford
and some, you know, foe, and he's like, you know, he's got this huge, not a machete.
So the bad guy's got a sword, right?
Yeah, a huge sword. Yeah. And he's like, shoot, 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 shoot. And Harrison Ford just kind of shrugs or Indy, and pulls out a gun and goes, it just, you know, kills the guy. So I feel like the Democrats bring a gun to a knife fight.
Yeah, you're probably right.
You know, even though they're anti-gun.
Like, well, that's true.
Right. Yes. So again, just deeply ironic. So on this note, I wanted to expand just a little bit. So Glenn Greenwald, who definitely used to be a Democrat. I think he's still a registered Democrat. I'm not sure. But well-known journalist.
He still admits he's a liberal.
He's a liberal, yeah, yes, absolutely. But he's definitely a liberal. It feels like the Democratic Party has left him. He really put this in such a tight nutshell that I just wanted to quote him. And yeah, we're going to tag you, Glenn. He was on Megyn Kelly's show earlier this week, and he said this. It was so perfect. He said, in 2016, the DNC cheated to make sure Hillary beat Bernie, and the WikiLeaks release proves it. Donna Brazile and Elizabeth Warren are on the record saying that actually happened. In 2020, Obama drove everybody out of the race to make sure Joe Biden won because they felt like Biden had the best chance of beating Trump. And Biden was seen as this, you know, well-known, you know, folksy guy, served under Obama, centrist, right? But I agree with Glenn Greenwald that absolutely Obama was behind the whole thing in 2020. In 2024, as Edward was just recapping, they would not allow a primary or any debates, even though RFKJ, Marianne Williamson, and Dean Phillips wanted to run against Joe Biden. And I don't care if you're the incumbent, there should be a primary. Even the Republicans had a primary, and granted, Trump didn't show up to any of those debates. He didn't feel the need to because of what the polls were saying, but even the Republicans had a primary.
Yeah, and they all went out and campaigned. Yeah,
yeah, they did. So then after the disastrous debate in June, the Democratic Party got rid of Biden and imposed on the party and the country a candidate who has, and I'm quoting him, never once campaigned to be president and has never gotten a single vote. And I know you're going to continue this thread.
Yeah, I mean, she actually did campaign to become president previously.
Previously, briefly, briefly.
But she never received not a single primary vote.
Nope, she quit and after Tulsi took her down.
And she's never won a single primary delegate. A single delegate, yes. So she didn't even make it to the first primary. Right,
nope,
if you recall
she dropped out.
It just shows you, and I remember when she announced her candidacy.
Yeah,
it was an impressive affair. It was in downtown San Francisco, in like the City Hall Square.
Senator,
she had thousands of people out there, and it looked it looked good.
It did look good,
but then she opened her mouth. So.
It was really Tulsi taking her down that one debate. That's what did it.
Yeah,
the next day she closed up shop.
But, you know, in an overall bigger picture kind of thing, I always ask why. So why, and this is for you people that are Democrats or independents and leaning away from Donald Trump. Why do Democrats sue to stop any cleanup of the voter rolls anywhere in the country? We're talking dead people or people who have moved. Every time that any of these states want to clean up their rolls, which you should be doing every single year, they get sued by the Democrats every single time. That should tell you something right there. Why would you not want clean voter rolls?
Okay, and what else?
Well, any ID laws. Oh my goodness. Talk about racism.
Well, make it really clear. Democrats sue.
They sue to stop any voter ID laws,
right?
Because they have so little faith that people of color just somehow cannot get an ID. It's just impossible for them to.
Right.
And you want to talk about the soft bigotry of low expectations?
It's right there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a big expectation that people could actually get an ID that are issued for free by the government. So.
And they always pretend to swing to the right for the general election. Yeah. I think that's true of both parties. They try to swing to the middle, but this is very different. This is very, very different. If you look at Kamala Harris's background, I mean, this is not a swing. I mean, this is a complete pivot. And why do you think they hide their liberalism?
Well, because they know the general population will reject them.
Okay.
And their power is what they're after.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Anything that they have to do to get power, there's always a great saying, and I don't know who said it first, but Republicans, when Republicans are in power, oh crap. All right, I forgot it.
It's gone. All right.
But anyway, when Democrats are in power, they rule. They with an iron fist.
Yes.
No question.
So I see you watching live. Thank you so much. And depending on the platform you're watching live on, you can comment in real time if you feel so obliged to do so. We always love interaction. Yep. But what I think we need to talk about is it goes along with this, you know, pretending to swing.
Yes.
Is Kamala's flip-flopping? It proves the Democrats are moving to the right at election time. And again, I don't even think this is like a move. This is like a complete 180. So
They're not going from the left to the center.
No.
They're going from the far left to the far right.
Yeah, they're trying. So we're going to have a little fun. So I'm going to say the name of a topic.
Okay.
And Edward is going to say what Harris's stance was.
Okay.
Publicly on the record, even though Google's been trying to scrub it and Wikipedia too. And then I'm going to say where she is today.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with the issue that I thought we were most in agreement on last week, but I was wrong. Illegal immigration.
Well, Kamala was the border czar.
Oh, Edward, you're wrong. No,
what?
No.
Stop.
She was never the border czar.
She wasn't.
Never.
That's right. It's
never
root causes or something like
that. Yeah, she was never the border czar. And okay, that's on the record, people. I mean, again, they're scrubbing the record, but Joe Biden made her the border czar. I mean, yes. Okay.
Did she ever figure out what the root causes were?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Wait. America has always been a great country and people want to come here. There you go.
Well, do you remember how she, when she was interviewed when she became the border czar, that she had never been to the border and remember her response?
Well, I've never been to Europe either.
Yeah.
Lester Holt, I think.
All right. Illegal immigration.
Okay. Trump's wall was a vanity project.
Now she's saying, I want to build a border wall.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. We need to do it.
Yeah. We can't possibly afford, right, $25 billion to build a border wall, of which just the minimal cost every year now for people coming across the border is $150 billion.
All right, let's stay on track.
God forbid.
Yes, I know. So, let's not get off topic. Okay, so another one.
She wanted to abolish ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement.
Oh, but no. I don't want to abolish ICE. That's what she's saying now.
Yeah.
No. I never said that. No.
Why would she want to do that?
All right, new topic.
Okay.
Environment.
The environment. Yes.
All right.
Pennsylvania, listen, please.
Yes, please.
She wants to ban fracking.
Oh, no. I support fracking. No. I absolutely support fracking today. Okay. Today she supports fracking. Go back and look over the history of her, not just vice presidency, but even as a senator.
Yeah. Well, what I find kind of fascinating is the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act.
Which was terrible.
The Inflation Reduction Act was actually the new Green Deal.
Yeah.
Okay. They tried to get it through the Senate and Joe Manchin stopped them, the Democrat from West Virginia. I'm not going to vote for it. It was a tie vote. He said, no, I'm not going to. They changed the name from the New Green Deal to the Inflation Reduction Act. He voted for it. And he put the tie in place. And then she,
as
Senate president, cast the tie-breaking vote for the New Green Deal.
And she was proud of it.
Yes. Which, by the way, bans fracking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
She also, in one of the, typical off-the-cuff policy decisions she makes, somebody asked her, do you want to ban plastic straws? And she said, well, yeah, of course. I think that's a good idea.
Oh, no. But now she totally supports plastic straws. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
New topic, government-run healthcare. What, give us the previous position.
Well, again, when she was asked about her policies for this, she said, well, we should just have Medicare for all.
Oh, no. Did I say that? No, I'm fine with private health insurance. I'm fine. It's right up there with if you can keep your doctor.
Yeah. I am for Medicare for all. Okay. I think that would work. And the reason I say that is
I'm in shock here. I'm like, what?
As long as everybody is going to be subjected to the same rules, all the politicians, right? So if you're not going to have it, don't force it on us.
Yeah, that's okay? Right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm talking the president on down. If you're going to be, wanting to private or publicize, make public our healthcare system, you have to be under the same exact rules.
I agree with that. New topic, gun ownership.
Oh, well, obviously, she hates guns and she actually supported a gun buyback program.
Now, today, I support the Second Amendment, except assault weapons. But otherwise, I absolutely support the Second Amendment.
I don't think the left realizes when they say assault weapons, everything is an assault weapon. A stapler is an assault weapon.
Okay. Yes.
You can be assaulted with practically any, a feather,
going down a rabbit hole.
No, but I'm just saying, let's not go there. And by the way, on a gun buyback program, the gun owners didn't buy their guns from the federal government.
Right.
So they're buying back something that they never sold you.
Yes. Okay. But you're going down a rabbit hole, and it's my job to keep us on task.
Just clarifying things.
Okay. It's my job to keep us on task. All right. A new topic, defunding the police.
Well, she actually led the defund the police movement in 2020 at the summer of George Floyd, if you recall.
Absolutely. But now she says, oh, no, I support law enforcement. Now, notice support law enforcement doesn't mean funding the police.
Yeah,
I support law enforcement.
Right.
Same topic.
Yes. Well, in California, she supported decriminalizing shoplifting up to $999.
And that law is in place, by the way.
And
I've seen it in real life.
Yes.
I've watched people shoplift in California. And now she says, I'm a former prosecutor and I was tough on crime. I was really tough on crime.
Yes. What does she always say? I prosecuted multinational criminal organizations.
Yes. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, new topic, the economy.
Well,
kind of really fun.
I mean, it's not a huge economic.
But this one's fun.
So it is. But yes. So she actually cast a vote for the IRS to go after tip workers, people that make most of their living through tips.
Right. So they would have to report all the
Yes.
tips.
Remember, they added 80,000 new IRS agents
Yes.
to go after. This is one of the people or one of the groups they're going after.
And now, weeks after Trump publicly said Yes. he would get rid of that, weeks after he said, absolutely, there's no tax on tips, she almost verbatim said the same thing, almost
Yeah.
word for word. Oh, yeah, no tax on tips. And that's all because Nevada's in play.
Well, it was like what, March or April, Trump was in Nevada.
Yep.
He talked to a waitress, right?
Yes.
A waitress came to wait on him. It was actually in Las Vegas. He was at his hotel there, and a waitress came over, and he was talking to her, and she said, boy, if we just didn't have any tax on tips, that would be amazing and stuff. And that's where Trump got the idea from.
Yes.
He put it out there, obviously pandering in Nevada, right? And what, 2-3 months later, Kamala comes back with the exact same thing, even though she's sicking 80,000 new IRS agents on people that make
Yes.
tips.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And then recently she has said a few more things.
Well, because Democrats just love, giving tax breaks and things like that to people. She has now promised $50,000 for 5 million new startups in her administration, which, by the way, the math comes out to $1.25 trillion.
That all we taxpayers are paying for.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Because right now you get like a $5,000 tax credit if you wanted to try to start a business.
So not she necessarily, decided, we didn't.
No, but there are programs for
Yeah.
that, right. But now she's saying $50,000 to 5 million startups.
Yes.
It's just insane.
And she wants to reduce regulations for startups.
Yes. She says she wants to make it easier. So she wants to ease regulations. Now, just put on your thinking caps. When was the last time a Democrat said, I want to reduce regulations? That would be never. It really is. It's never. There are never enough regulations for Democrats.
And when asked about this flip-flopping, and she has been, to be fair to the news media, it hasn't just been conservative media, but when she's been asked about the flip-flopping, she says, my values haven't changed.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means. When you completely 180 degrees change your views and change your policies.
Your policies, yeah.
Yeah, and then say my values haven't changed. Okay, please explain your values.
So I just want to shout out to Democrats, to independents. Again, I'm going to kind of rephrase what Dave Rubin says. You don't have to vote for Trump. Oh, just lost my earpiece. Oh, well. You don't have to vote for Trump. But how can you vote for Kamala? How? Explain it to me. I would love to know. We're going to have some guests coming up in future episodes, especially in October. And I would love to have somebody come on and tell us why Kamala Harris. And it can't be against Trump. Okay. It can't. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear why Kamala Harris. And it can't be about skin color. Can't be about sex, gender. Can't be. No. Why policy wise? Because if policy wise, you 100% agree with her. Which policy? Because she's flip flopped on all of them. So. Yeah. So really, like, I just, and
it's not a little thing.
No, because, it's not a little thing.
You know, especially as far left as the Democrats have gone in recent years.
Yes.
That to completely 180 degrees change. And, I know this is probably with a wink and a nod to her far left supporters. Like,
right.
Hey, I'm just saying this. You know what I'm really all about.
Yeah.
And they kind of get it. And I get that happens, but not to this degree where. You know, it'd be like Trump, saying, we need a 100% tax rate out there or something, right?
Which he did not say. Don't take that out of context.
Yeah, don't
clip that out of context. But on that note, we do have an amazing This Week in Wins from our good friend Bob Hogue at redstate.com. I'm just going to read the headline because it's awesome. I'm out of here. Disgusted, Alan Dershowitz announces he's ditching the Democratic Party.
All right.
Harvard professor of law emeritus Alan Dershowitz has proven to be a wealth of often, but not always, solid commentary and analysis in recent years, as he is one of the few on the left side of the political aisle who's been willing to point out that much of the endless Democrat lawfare against Donald Trump has been a banana republic style of justice and runs counter to our Constitution. And he's been on many shows talking about this from the point of view of law. Mm-hmm. And now he says he's no longer a Democrat. Dershowitz said he was appalled by the antics of the pro-Hamas crowd at the Democratic National Convention held in Chicago in August. And to Alan Dershowitz, I applaud you.
Yeah, good on you. That's,
yes.
You know, his breaking point is Hamas and Israel.
Right, absolutely.
And that's good. Everybody needs to find what their breaking point is on it.
Yeah.
Because there's always something that you realize, I can't go along with this any longer. And when, especially Joe Biden spoke that first night at the convention, and he referenced the crowd outside that we hear you and we understand your concerns. And they're screaming, from the river to the sea, and
yes.
Hamas will rule. And I mean, my gosh, that's almost, you can equate that to the very fine people in Charlottesburg or Charlottesville, right?
Again, so, taking it out of context, don't do that. Let's talk about some other people who had some breaking points.
Yeah.
Tulsi Gabbard.
The Democrats, yeah.
I was a huge, huge fan. I mean, I really was rooting for Tulsi. And again, don't agree with all of her policies, but really was rooting for her in 2020. And she hung in until the end. And you really have to understand, she was a rising star in the Democratic Party. She was, I think, co-chair of the DNC at one point.
Yeah. Leadership, I think.
Yes, in leadership. And despite not receiving any funds when she first ran for her House seat in Hawaii.
Right.
But she was a rising star. She completely aligns on a lot of issues with the Democratic Party, but the way they treated her in 2020 was appalling.
And who treated her badly?
The Democrats, especially
Hillary Clinton. There you
yes,
go.
I was right. So upset. I just yes. couldn't believe it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so when, Tulsi was accused of being a Russian agent, are you serious? Give me a freaking break.
Yeah.
And, it was hard for her to say that she was no longer a Democrat.
Well, because she's from Hawaii.
Yes.
Hawaii is the deepest blue you can imagine. Yeah, I don't know if they ever had a Republican.
Yes.
Everything there is one party rule. And for her to say, I'm out.
Yeah. She has no future in politics in Hawaii specifically.
Yeah, that takes courage.
Yes. Let's talk about the next one.
As we referenced earlier, RFK Jr.
Yes.
You know, he looks at this party and says, you know, my dad and my uncle would be appalled.
And I think he's right.
100%.
I think they would be appalled. Yes.
You know, and the left always counters, well, Ronald Reagan couldn't get elected today. Yeah, he could. Yeah, he could. You know, did he not treat the left as, you know, lower than pond scum? No, he was friendly with, you know,
Tip
O'Neill whatever. They actually had a good relationship. But Reagan could get elected today.
I don't know if he could, because Reagan would be considered too moderate, I think, by a lot of people.
No, I think Reagan would have been able to be full Reagan in today's party. I think he was much more conservative than he was allowed at the time, if you will.
Hmm.
I mean, to fight the Soviet Union was when everybody told him, you know, this is, please don't call him an evil empire. Please don't do this.
Yeah,
and by the way, we did see the Reagan movie last week. So
it was quite good.
That was wonderful.
It really was. And then there are three California Democrats. I mean, we have the names of at least two of them, but who have come out and said that they are leaving the Democratic Party. So probably the most notable one is former California Senate Majority Leader Gloria Romero. Not only is she leaving the Democratic Party, she's registering as a Republican.
And former Senate Majority Leader.
Yes, in California. And I'm not even sure that, like, Tulsi's registered as a Republican. I think she registered as an independent. Right. But then State Senator Marie Alvarado Gill said that she had long been a Democrat, but she and the Democratic Party no longer have the same values since she was elected in 2024. I don't have any news if she has switched to independent or Republican, but she is no longer a Democrat. And then there's a third one. Let us know if you see it live, if you know who that third California Democrat was, because we couldn't find it. We remembered it. But
I give these people credit.
Absolutely.
Just like Tulsi, because
yes.
California is one party rule.
Yep.
They have super majorities in both their House, whatever they call it there, and the Senate.
Assembly and the Senate.
So if you go to the other side, you have zero voice anymore. And that
even though we were talking about Reagan, mm-hmm. he was a governor of California, Republican governor.
Yes,
so California has had Republican governors.
It has in the past, and now that's
been a long time
gone.
Now.
Yes,
yeah.
It has. Yes.
So I think that is a big week and when, and thank you, Edward, so much for finding that for us, because it makes me cautiously optimistic as someone who feels exactly the same way as the state senator, Marie Alvarado Gill. I feel like the Democratic Party left me, mm-hmm. and I'm a registered independent. And I've mentioned before, I haven't voted in a long time. I still haven't decided about 2024, but I just don't believe in voting for someone as a vote against someone else. So again, I beg you, you don't have to vote for Trump, but if you are not 100% aligned with Kamala Harris's plan for our country, you don't have to vote for her either. You can stay home. It's okay.
That's true.
You can just stay home.
That's very true.
And good luck trying to vote for anyone else, because the Democratic Party is trying to get everybody else off the ballot.
But I thought every vote counted. Oh, well, they just want every vote for them.
Yes.
Okay. There are no votes for anybody else. I got now.
Yes.
Boy, finally.
All right. I'm so excited that you're doing the next segment. Are you actually going to say it out loud?
This week in WTF.
This week in What the Fuck. All right. Go ahead.
Thank you, Miss Potty Mouth. From our friend Catherine Salgado at PJ Media.
We really love them.
Love PJ.
They have
love
good
the
stuff.
PJ. Headline: Americans lose jobs as net gains all for migrants. Or
explain yourself.
Native-born Americans have lost more jobs than migrants, now, mind you, these are illegal immigrants, have gained over the past year. Economist E.J. Antoni posted on X, quote, August jobs reports show more pain for native-born Americans who've lost more than 1.3 million jobs over the last year, while foreign-born workers have gained over 1.2 million jobs. The American worker has been left behind in this, air quotes, recovery.
Okay.
And to finish the article here, what we picked here, talk show host Charlie Kirk expanded on the numbers, illustrating the Biden-Harris administration's failure. Quote, remember when the press lost its collectivist mind when Trump said very accurately that over 100% of the job gains under Biden were for illegals and other foreigners? Well, 635,000 of job gains were foreign-born in August, while 1.325 native-born Americans lost their job. That's not a typo.
Okay, 1.325 million. You forgot that word.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, 1.325 million. Yeah, so foreign-borns got 635,000 job openings. They secured those jobs, while native-born Americans lost
1.3 million.
Yes. And as it is unfortunately true, as Kirk then added, that mass immigration incentivizes businesses to hire cheap, near slave labor at rock bottom prices and disincentivize paying living wages to native born workers. A freaking man.
Yeah. So, and I know that some people are going to say, well, there are Americans who don't want to do those jobs. That might have been true a long time ago, but I know a lot of people who are looking for work and looking to make a decent living to support their family. And we're not talking six figures here. And they're just looking to make a decent living, and in some cases are working multiple part-time jobs just to put food on the table.
Yeah, well, you know, just think about it. You're letting in tens of millions of people into our country that are very low, if any, education,
right?
Doing these jobs that these employers are paying them nothing for. If that doesn't happen, employers are going to have to pay a price. There's always a number that somebody will go to work for,
right?
There's always that number, like, I'm not going to work at this price, but I'll come in here. Will things cost a little bit more, perhaps? Yeah. Are we willing to pay a little bit more to completely secure our borders and to stop this? I think most people would say absolutely, because we're paying more now just because of the inflation. So there's other factors that have taken over that have raised the prices anyway, and we still have all these illegals here.
You know, we don't have time to go into this because we're, I feel like, running a little long for us, but this kind of flies in the face of all the minimum wage rules that many Democrats are enacting in their specific states. You know, so it's just,
well, I don't there shouldn't be a minimum wage,
right?
That should be what the market decides that you're worth.
Yes
absolutely. Okay. So let me just say this in closing.
Okay.
And the debate coming up here,
yes, Tuesday,
watch you, people. For you people on the left, just remember two things about Kamala. She has no core values.
No, right? Except even though her values have never changed,
except for abortion. All right. That is a core value for her. But other than that, she has nothing. And she doesn't like to do policy. She doesn't like to study. She doesn't
She is not smart like Hillary Clinton. Right. She is not Hillary Clinton.
So when you start to watch her fumble over her answers, it's because she doesn't have that basic self-knowledge that everybody has to have. Trump knows exactly what he feels, what he thinks, and he understands policy. So,
and he's authentic.
Well, yeah.
Oh, can we just say, oh, gosh, one more thing.
You want to do the accent?
Let's just say, you know, so we're live streaming from Birmingham, Alabama, where I went to high school and Edward moved here to be with me. And I moved back here after living in Los Angeles over 20 years. So, and I'm kind of from the Southeast. Both my parents are, grew up in different places here. And I just find it so insulting that Kamala Harris changes her accent depending on her audience. Now, Hillary Clinton was guilty of this too, did it all the time. Like, Hillary Clinton was too Midwestern and not Southern enough for the Arkansas voters when Bill was governor. And so she developed suddenly a Southern accent. But it is so insulting what Harris does depending on the audience. Whereas Trump is the same no matter what.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say about him, he is authentically him.
Yeah, Kamala was in Detroit this past week.
Oh my God, I can't do it.
And she starts in with, you need to thank a union member for this. You need to thank a union member. And then they show the exact same speech she does later in the day in Pittsburgh. And it's, you need to thank a union member for these benefits.
So insulting.
It is so transparent.
It is. It is. Oh my God.
I would, if I was a, you know, in the audience, I would just be rolling my eyes thinking, this isn't you. Be you.
Just be you.
That's okay.
People
vote for you.
Yeah.
Or don't.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much. We see you watching live for joining us today. And please follow us on all social media platforms. And we are live most Sundays, including next Sunday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. Eastern. And we stream live on YouTube, Rumble, LinkedIn, X. We should be back up live. And Facebook, you never know. So if you are listening to the podcast, which always drops on Monday, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast available wherever you're listening right now. And please support our show by joining our locals community. So we have created a locals community. Think of it like a private Facebook group, but it's not censored. And you can 100% join for free. And it's in the podcast show notes. And you can have more one-on-one contact with us, but also you can state your opinion. If you don't want to do so publicly, you can do it in the locals community. It's private. So,
and you can get gems like this. Let me ask you a question, put you on the spot here. Give me a prediction.
Oh, no.
Since last debate,
oh, no.
Biden, Trump waxed Joe Biden so completely that he had to drop out.
Yeah.
After this debate, will Trump absolutely decimate Kamala? Will she still be on the ticket in 2 weeks? Yes or no?
Yes, she'll still be on the ticket. And I think the conservative outlets will say he won, and the more liberal outlets will say she won. Because like I said, she is going to look, like you said, she's going to look for her girl boss moment.
Okay. So yeah, this is the kind of stuff I love to get her out of the blue that you can find in our other community ventures.
Yes. I'm not very spontaneous. I'm not the most spontaneous person. Shocker. All right. So Lauren Moore, follow us on all the socials. And also you can email us directly at myfavoriteconservative.show. That's my favorite conservative. You know, see that banner scrolling right there at the bottom.
Nice.
Myfavoriteconservative.show. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks for listening and watching.
Bye.